శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శివాసవితో శ్రీ శివారా కృష్ణ గౌర గోపినాథ శ్యామ కుందరాధాకుందిరి గౌరణ వృందావన్ నామ నవద్వీప గురుమాయి కంగమాయి తులసి దేవి భక్తి దేవి సాంబే భక్త వృందకి Nithai Lord Premanand, all glories to the Asanuti Guru, all glories to the Asanuti Guru, all glories to the Asanuti Guru, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guru, all glories to Sri Guru.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
as stated in Bhagavad Gita 7:27, Ichadvesha samuttimina dvandva maunena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yante parantapa. O sign of Bharata, Arjuna, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. This is an explanation of how the living entity falls down into this material world. In the spiritual world, there is no duality, nor is there hate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands Himself into men. In order to enjoy bliss more and more, the Supreme Lord expands Himself in different categories. As mentioned in the Bharata Purana, He expands Himself in Vishnu Tattva, the Svamsa expansion, and in His marginal forms, the Vibhinamsa, or the living entity. These expanded living entities are innumerable. Just as the minute molecules of sunshine are innumerable expansions of the sun, the Vibhinamsa expansions, the marginal potencies of the Lord, are the living entities. When the living entities desire to enjoy themselves, they develop a consciousness of duality and come to hate the service of the Lord. In this way, the living entities fall into the material world. In the Prema Vibharata it is said, Krishna Bhaya Mukha Hana Boga Vanchakari Ika Tasta Maya Tari Jata Tiyadari. The natural position of the living entity is to serve the Lord in a transcendental loving attitude. When the living entity wants to become Krishna himself or imitate Krishna, he falls down into the material world. Since Krishna is the Supreme Father, his affection for the living entity is eternal. When the living entity falls down into the material world, the Supreme Lord, through his Samsha expansion, Paramatma, keeps company with the living entity. In this way, the living entity may someday return home, back to Godhead. By misusing his independence, the living entity falls down from the service of the Lord and takes a position in this material world as an enjoyer. That is to say, the living entity takes his position within the material body. Wanting to take a very exalted position, the living entity instead becomes entangled in a repetition of birth and death. He selects his position as a human being, a demigod, a cat, a dog, a tree, and so on. In this way, the living entity selects a body of the 8,400,000 forms and tries to satisfy himself by a variety of material enjoyment. The super soul, however, does not like him to do this. Consequently, the super soul instructs him to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord then takes charge of the living entity. But unless the living entity is uncontaminated by material desires, he cannot surrender to the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 5:29, the Lord says, Bhaktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam yatraman shakti. The sages, knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attain peace from the pangs of material miseries. The Supreme Lord is the supreme friend of everyone. However, no one can take advantage of the supreme friend's instructions while making his own plans to become happy and entangling himself in the modes of material nature. When there is creation, the living entities take on different forms according to past desires. This means that all the species or forms of life are simultaneously created. Darwin's theory stating that no human being existed from the beginning, but that humans evolved after many, many years, is simply a nonsensical theory. From Vedic literature, we find that the first creature within the universe is Lord Brahma. Being the most intelligent personality, Lord Brahma could take charge of creating all the variety found within this material world. Translation. The Brahman continued, my dear friend, even though you cannot immediately recognize me, can't you remember that in the past you had a very intimate friend? Unfortunately, you gave up my company and accepted a position as enjoyer of this material world. The present section of Srimad Bhagavatam discusses the disappearance of the spiritual master and the consequent appearance of the super soul in the form of a man to guide the bereft disciple. In general, we accept that the Paramatma resides within the heart of the living entity, which he does. But as Srila Prabhupada has explained most explicitly in his concluding words to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Paramatma sits within the heart along with all of his associates and devotees. And therefore, the spiritual master who has left and is an associate of the Lord is also present within the heart. And he can also give guidance from within the heart. But in simple terms, the scripture does not always mention that the Lord is in the heart of all of his devotees, but we understand that the Lord is never alone, but that he was always accompanied by his associates. The whole process of Krishna consciousness is meant to reverse the degradation of the living entity. The Bhagavad Gita also states, Kama Esha Krodha Esha Raja Dvesha Moha, that Arjuna asked the Lord, by what is one impelled to engage in sinful activities, even as if against one's own will? And Lord Krishna replied, Kama Esha Krodha Esha Raja Dvesha Moha. It is lust and lust only, the eternal enemy of the living entity. And that lust, when frustrated, becomes anger. And thus the living entity falls down. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that the living entity originally has pure love for Godhead, Nityasiddha Krishna Prema. And that when the living entity falls into the material world, the original sense of love of Godhead becomes perverted into lust. And therefore, instead of desiring the Lord's happiness, the living entity desires personal happiness, sense gratification. Instead of desiring to please the Lord's senses, the living entity tries to please his own senses. And when his attempts at sense gratification, material gratification, fail, he becomes angry. Srila Prabhupada explains that lust is a function of the mode of passion, and when lust is degraded and becomes wrath, it is a function of the mode of ignorance. The process of devotional service is meant to reverse the degradation of the living entity. Just as pure love becomes perverted and becomes lust due to envy of the Lord and forgetfulness of the Lord, lust, when engaged in the service of the Lord, can be purified and return to its original quality of pure love. And even wrath, as we mentioned, when the lust is frustrated, it turns into wrath. Even wrath or anger can also be dovetailed in the service of the Lord, and thus become purified. One famous example is Hanuman, when he went to Lanka to find Sita. He was captured by the forces of Ravana, and as a joke, they thought it was a joke, they set fire to his tail. I think he's a monkey. But have a little fun. And Hanuman, the great devotee of Ramchandra, he dovetailed his anger at these demons, and he jumped all over Lanka and set fire to the capital city of Ravana. So that's an example of engaging wrath or anger in the service of the Lord. And desire can also be engaged in the service of the Lord. Instead of desiring things for our sense gratification, we desire things for Krishna service. Instead of wanting money so that we can build a luxurious palace for ourselves, we desire money to build a beautiful temple for Krishna. As an example. This process is performed under superior guidance. The Paramatma always wants to give good counsel to his dear friend, the living entity. But the living entity is so preoccupied with material enjoyment that he doesn't recognize his friend, doesn't acknowledge his friend, doesn't hear his friend. The Upanishads give the example that the Paramatma and Jivatma are like two birds on the same branch of a tree. And the individual soul is tasting the fruits of the tree, absorbed in trying to enjoy the fruits on the tree. And the Supreme Soul is just waiting for him to stop his vain pursuits and to turn with you. So when the living entity becomes detached from material enjoyment, he can surrender to the Supreme Lord and take instruction from him. So the process of detachment may be gradual. The process of surrender may be gradual. And therefore, the super soul arranges for the living entity who wants to surrender to him and come back to get guidance from the Sadhu Shastra Guru Prabhupada. And especially the super soul manifests himself as the spiritual master to guide the conditioned soul back to the Tailoka Rasha. The first step is to take shelter of the spiritual master. So the spiritual master instructs the disciple, trains the disciple, gives it to the disciple, so that the disciple makes progress in devotional service and Krishna consciousness and the path back home, back to God. But then the spiritual master may leave his physical body. Then, how will the disciple continue to make progress on the path? Now, in the section we've been reading, the queen, who figuratively is the disciple of the king, after the king dies, she laments very bitterly, she cries, and is ready to give up her own body to the funeral fire. And Śrīla Prabhupāda explained this means that after the spiritual master leaves, the disciple life for the mission of the spiritual master. Or in other words, he should be prepared to serve the spiritual master without any personal consideration. So when one is ready to renounce all thoughts and desires of sense gratification in favor of the service of the spiritual master, one is eligible to receive instructions from the Super Soul, the Chaitanya Guru. And that is the condition. And that is mentioned here as well. We fall down into the material world when we want to assume the position of enjoyer. And when we give up the false desire to enjoy and surrender to the Supreme Lord and want to be reinstated in our original position, in our constitutional position as the Lord's eternal servant, he gives us instruction. In the initial stage, he arranges for us to meet the spiritual master, or he arranges for the spiritual master to appear before us. The spiritual master guides us, and then when the spiritual master leaves, the super soul continues to arrange for our guidance so that we can achieve complete success in Krishna consciousness. And the spiritual master may appear in many forms. Can include from within the heart, it can include from outside of the heart. There's the story of Vilva Mangala Thakur. He was an advanced devotee in his previous life, but somehow he did not achieve complete perfection. And in the next life, he took birth in a Brahmin family. But somehow, he had a weakness for the opposite sex. And he became attached to a prostitute named Chintamani. One very stormy night, he was hankering for her association, so he went out into the storm to reach her place, get across a river, raging river. There was no way to cross. In the midst of the storm, he saw a corpse floating in the river, and with the help of the corpse, he was able to somehow swim across. And eventually it came to the prostitute's house. She was inside. There was a high wall he had to scale. He didn't know what to do. He found a snake and used the dead snake as a rope. And eventually he died. The prostitute was actually the devotee. And when she saw this poor fellow who underwent such extreme efforts in such difficult conditions just to be with her, she told him that if you had as much attachment for Krishna as you have for me, it would be a lot better for you. You should just go to Vrindavan and find Krishna. The world prostitute, somehow reawakened Yogamangala Thakura's Krishna consciousness from his past life that she had forgotten. And he took her words to heart and he immediately left for Vrindavan. And eventually he reached Vrindavan. He became a completely self-realized soul and wrote a wonderful book called Krishna Karanamrita. At the beginning of Krishna Karanamrita, he, in the introductory prayers, Mangalacharana, he offers respects to Chintamani. Accepted Chintamani as his spiritual master. She reminded him of his real duty in life, and by her words, he set out for Vrindavan and Krishna. Of course, we say that the person who first gives us the idea of Krishna consciousness, who first shows us the path, is Bhartana Pradarsha Prabhu, the one who shows the way. It's a kind of Shishu. But some authorities have commented that it was actually Yogamangala Thakura's spiritual master from his previous life who entered the body of the prostitute to give him instruction so that he could ultimately attain perfection. So somehow or other, the spiritual master, in cooperation with Krishna, will arrange for the guidance that the disciple needs to go back home, back to God. And revive one's original relationship with Krishna, one's eternal relationship with Krishna, which includes one's relationship with all of Krishna's associates. Krishna's never alone, it's all of his associates. And thus one would be united with one's spiritual master, a lot of one's friends in the spiritual world. Let us read one more verse. Text 54. Hamsa Aham Chitvam Charya Sakayo Mansayana Abhutam Antara Boha Sahasra Vadivasara. My dear gentle friend, both you and I are exactly like two swans. We live together in the same heart, which is just like the Manasa lake. Although we have been living together for many thousands of years, we are still far away from our original home. Report by Srila Prabhupada. The original home of the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, both the Lord and the living entities live together very peacefully. Since the living entity remains engaged in the service of the Lord, they both share a blissful life in the spiritual world. However, when the living entity wants to enjoy himself, he falls down into the material world. Even while he is in that position, the Lord remains with him as the super soul, his intimate friend. Because way of living entity remains conditioned in each and every millennium. Although the Lord follows him as a friend, the living entity, because of forgetful material existence, does not recognize him. So, the example is quite wonderful, that the two of them, the Supreme Soul and the individual soul, are like two swans on a lake. Similar to the example of the two birds on a tree, branch of a tree, but very sweet. And again, when the forgetful living entity turns his face back towards the Supreme Personality of God that the Lord instructs him from within as the super soul and from without as the spiritual master. We have the same example in Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna is the Supreme Soul, and Arjuna is the individual soul, or an individual soul. And the two of them are seated on a chariot. The body is also like a chariot. There's an example in the Upanishads that likens the body to a chariot, and the five senses are like the horses of the chariot. And the reins are a driving instrument, are the mind. The driver is the intelligence. The driver is the super soul. And the passenger is the individual soul. Intelligence, Prabhupada said, intelligence is the form direction of the super soul. The super soul gives intelligence to the living entity according to the person's desire. So you have a similar situation. Krishna is driving the chariot and Arjuna is the passenger. And Arjuna is giving direction to the driver. And the driver is taking the chariot where the passenger asks. In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna told Krishna, please drive my chariot between the two armies so I can see who has assembled here. And Krishna obeyed. But at a certain stage, Arjuna became bewildered about his duty, and he surrendered to Krishna. He gave up friendly talks. They were friends, but he gave up friendly talks and surrendered. Said, Shishyasthevam Shadimam Tvamapurthanam. Now I am your disciple, and the soul surrendered to you, please instruct me. And when he surrendered to Krishna, then Krishna began to instruct him. He took the position of spiritual master and instructed him. And immediately he chided him. You are speaking learned words. You are speaking like a pundit. But you are lamenting for that which is not worthy of grief. Prabhupada said indirectly, he called him a fool. You're not. And someone put it, you're not very smart. So, we are in the same position, every one of us is in the same position. And at any moment, we can try to act as enjoyer of the material world and turn away from Krishna. And at any moment, we can turn back to Krishna, try to surrender. But now, in our present situation, means in the situation after the spiritual master has departed, or how we get guidance. And in one of the earlier, in the last class, actually, I told the story of my discussion with this holiness, Krishna Goswami, whom here in Dallas, in which he said that, you know, with all of his association with Srila Prabhupada, three initiations from Srila Prabhupada, he still felt that he needed guidance. And therefore, he had several god brothers who he accepted as shishigurus, and he would take counsel. And at the time, as I mentioned, I had been very distraught because some god brothers whom I had placed a lot of faith and hope, they disappointed me. So as a reaction, I thought, okay, I'm not going to put my faith in anyone else, and only in Srila Prabhupada, no one else. So I heard what Mahakrishna Goswami said. Father Goddard, a little bit of a sort of late when soon took rest. Then the next morning, we were all chanting at the temple. And it was a very surcharged atmosphere. We were chanting all together in the temple room. And I was also chanting. Krishna Goswami was chanting. We were all chanting. And I was sort of walking around, right in that sort of that corner there. I just had this insight. That what Krishna Goswami had said was true. I was an initial shiva. And I was having been initiated by Prabhupada and having had association with Prabhupada. Wasn't enough. And then I got further insight that Krishna Goswami was the one whom I should accept as Shishu. So I went out to him and told him, you know, I thought about what you said last night. I also need a Shishu.
Smiled, sort of like knowingly, and then I offered a obeisance. What I didn't mention when I told the story in the previous class, and it wasn't so relevant at the time, but I was also in his list of his Shiksha Gurus. And this is significant in terms of how we relate to each other, especially God brothers and God sisters. Although not only God brothers and God sisters. And that is that, like in this example of the two birds, the super soul is always the supreme soul, and the individual soul is always the individual soul. You know, Krishna is always Krishna, and Arjuna is always Arjuna. Of course, we're always individuals. We keep our individual identity. But in this dynamic of spiritual friendship, at one stage, you know, one may take advice from the other, and then the next time the other might take advice from the first. And that is sort of confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami in Upadeshamrita, that equals exchange obeisances. Obeisances are not just an external activity of the body. Obeisances indicate respect and submission, and they may indicate surrender. So we offer obeisances to each other as equals. We're actually offering respect and submission to each other. So externally, one may judge that we're equals. You know, we're in the same generation of disciples, may have similar qualifications in terms of status. But internally, each humble Vaishnav thinks that the other is more advanced than he is a better devotee than he is more qualified than he is, and therefore is ready to take instruction from him and learn from him. And Srila Prabhupada gave the same instruction in a letter. He said that initiation does not mean that one is perfect. Initiation is a beginning. And after initiation, one still needs to be trained. And then Srila Prabhupada said that any god brother who gives one instruction can be taken as spiritual master, as Shiksha Guru. And therefore we refer to each other as Prabhu. Prabhu means master. You are my master. I'm your servant. I can learn from you. And that way, in that humble mood, we can learn a lot and advance. One year, His Holiness Sachinandan Swami was doing quite a serious namvrat at Radhakund. At the time, Nitai Chand Maharaj had an ashram at Radhakund. I was staying at the Bhaktivedanta Ashram at Govardhan with His Holiness Keshava Bharati Das Goswami. So one day we went to Radhakund to visit Nitai Chand Maharaj and Sachinandan Swami. And Sachinandan Swami had such a quota of rounds that he hardly had time for anything else, just, you know, take a little prasad, take a little rest at night, and mainly japa. But he did take some time to speak with me. And at that time, it was a topic of contemplation and discussion, taking instruction from outside of ISKCON, from senior Gaudiya Vaishnavas outside of ISKCON. And of course, there is the verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu about one of the five most potent items of devotional service called sadhu sangha. And in that context, sadhu sangha svatovare, sadhu is defined as someone more advanced. So the question is, okay, where do we get sadhu sangha? Where do we get the association of devotees who are more advanced than we are? So from a certain point of view, you know, we're all on the same level. Say, you know, Satchinanda and Swami and myself, we were the ones having the discussion. But Maharaj said that although from a certain point of view we're equals, we're peers, one is not significantly more advanced than the other, but internally he feels that I'm more advanced than he is, and internally I will feel that he's more advanced than I am. And so that condition, sadhu sangha svatovare, of associating with devotees who are more advanced than oneself, can be fulfilled by associating with devotees who may be considered peers from a certain point of view, but internally each Vaishnav on that level thinks that the other is more qualified than he is, a better devotee, someone I can learn from. And that way one will continue to get superior guidance if one has that humble mood. It's the same thing. And does not have envy, does not have material attachment, does not have material ambitions. And one can see the virtues in the other person, see the good qualities, and learn from his example and from his words. So we're never really bereft of more advanced association if we stay in the association of devotees. And all of us at that time, Tamal Krishna Goswami, he wasn't there in Vrindavan at that particular stage. Keshava Bharati Maharaj, Nitai Chand Maharaj, Satchinandan Swami, and others who had come to Vrindavan and Kartik then, were unanimous in their conclusion that we would rather get our guidance within ISKCON from followers of Srila Prabhupada. Even though it might seem sort of easy or attractive to go outside of ISKCON to get instruction from some venerable Vaishnav, but the consequence of that is that what we're getting is not completely in the line of Srila Prabhupada. It came with other things, or it would come with other things that we didn't want. And so we all concluded, sort of individually and collectively, that we'd rather get it from within ISKCON, from followers of Srila Prabhupada, and that it was available within ISKCON if we had the proper mood we're humble and free from material ambition, and we're ready to see the exalted qualities in our God brothers. And of course we have Srila Prabhupada's books, and gradually more of Prabhupada's disciples are writing more books. So there's a lot, a lot. And another point, which is related to the idea of receiving guidance from followers of Srila Prabhupada within ISKCON, is the emphasis that Srila Prabhupada put on preaching and on ISKCON as a vehicle for preaching. And I was very impressed that at the end of his Namvrat at Radhakund, Satchinandan Swami left. He actually left Vrindavan early and went to South India, to Ahovalam, to the deity of Nrisimhadev there, to pray for ISKCON. And Nitai Chand Maharaj also, he would do Govardhan Parikrama every morning, full Parikrama barefoot every morning. But even he was like so concerned about ISKCON, and that was something very special, that even though they could, you know, focus so much on their own internal spiritual development, especially at a, you know, on a special occasion to go to Vrindavan and Kartik and just focus on your spiritual development, but they're always concerned about ISKCON, always concerned about the mission, and were ready to work for it. They left. Of course, later I think he said he didn't realize that Kartik hadn't ended, but he left, went all the way to, you know, South India after that severe vrat, pray to Nrisimhadev. So that's very special. About Prabhupada's mood, that as we advance, we should relish bhajan. We should relish chanting and hearing. We should increase in remembrance. But it doesn't preclude preaching. In fact, it should enhance it. As Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if one chants the holy name offenselessly, the result is that compassion for other living entities will awaken, jivadaya, and that compassion will be manifest in efforts to preach, to create institutions and projects to attract conditioned souls and engage conditioned souls and encourage and protect devotees. So, you know, this is our line, and so we're being helped on all sides, internally, externally, being helped on all sides by Sadhu Shastra Guru and Krishna. Just have to be open to take their help. We have to be sincere and serious and give up false attachments to the body, false identification with the body and all the false attachments that come with the false identification, and just let it all go and realize that we're just, you know, infinitesimal living entities, servant of the servants of the servants of the servants of the servants of Krishna. And as the servant of the servants serve our masters and learn from our masters. And again, in that dynamic exchange, the roles may be reversed. And that in that way, even as friends, we can always have guidance and encouragement. Not even as friends, I mean, even as peers. And that is the spiritual master's mercy. That is the spiritual master's mercy and Krishna's mercy. So it's been a wonderful visit. When I came here with Burijan Prabhu the one time, fairly soon after Srila Gurudev left, and he had to leave, you know, to continue with his tour. So he said, you know, he never likes to say goodbye. In fact, in Indian culture, they don't say goodbye because it's too painful. So they say, he quoted in Bengali, Ami Ache. I'm sort of like just now coming, just coming. And in my case, God willing, it won't just be a few weeks. I mean, that could be a long time. Lord Chaitanya said one moment was like 12 years, but still we'll just say, just coming. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Nityananda Prabhu.
In your comments, you talk about, you know, when I heard the word list of persons, how important is the fact that we have a list and not just one person? And the second part of that is, how important is it that maybe none of them, or if one of them, should be a person that you like to hear from, because we seem to have preferences. I like this person for whatever reason that you might like that person. How important is that liking part, or avoiding, a contrary side of that, avoiding just hearing from persons who seem to be agreeable, as opposed to speaking, like you said, without any, they're speaking the truth. And they're saying what the other person should hear, as opposed to what that person may want or like to hear.
Nityananda Prabhu's first question is, Srila Gurudev mentioned a number of God brothers whom he accepted as Shiksha Gurus and consulted. So Nityananda Prabhu asked, how important is it to have a list? Well, accepting someone is really a matter of the heart. Otherwise it's artificial. There has to be genuine faith. And because Tamal Krishna Goswami had genuine faith in these devotees, it came from his heart that he sought their association and guidance on occasion. So, you know, it may be, you know, if it's not there, you may not have anyone on your list, you know. But it might begin with one, and again, it amongst them one could be more prominent than others, but others could also be there. I mean, there's many varieties, but it has to be genuine. And it's not like he pulled out a piece of paper from his pocket with the list, but there were just certain individuals that he was inclined, you know, for whom he had deep respect and was inclined to consult. But as one matures, you know, one can learn from more and more devotees, not even devotees, one can learn from more and more people. Like the Brahmin who had 24 gurus, you know, mentioned in the 11th canto, he was learning from the clouds, he was learning from the birds, he was learning everywhere. But specifically, we want to learn from, mainly from devotees, from followers of Srila Prabhupada, and, you know, hear from them. You know, if we actually have faith, then there's no question of only wanting to hear things that are pleasing to one's false ego or to one's sense gratification. One will want to hear everything. One will want to be chastised if required. Now that's the real mood. Like Advaitacharya, because he was senior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always respected him as an elder. But Advaitacharya wanted to be chastised by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He felt he was being deprived because of his senior position. So then he started to speak a sort of Mayavad philosophy. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised him. And Advaitacharya became jubilant. Now he's finally chastised me. So I should be ready for both. Yes?
Maharaj, I'm trying to understand the point that you made, that ultimately, the spiritual master will manifest through other devotees. And if that is the case, then Srila Prabhupada will manifest through the grand disciples. So we are all connected. Is that your point you're making?
Yeah. Mahadeva Prabhu says that I said that the spiritual master manifests through other devotees, and therefore Srila Prabhupada would be manifesting through his disciples and even grand disciples. That's true. Again, you know, the original spiritual master is Krishna. You know, the supreme spiritual master is Krishna. And he manifests as the spiritual master, or spiritual masters. And one's own spiritual master, when one is surrendered to one's own spiritual master, one will see him also manifesting. Yes.
Maharaj, kind of along with the idea of the class, is there any kind of evidence in scripture where a devotee sees something like an omen, some omen of nature, something happens, and the devotee sees that as kind of being something instructive or something that he should take note of?
Is there any example from scripture of?
Of some devotee seeing some omen of nature or some.
Oh, an omen of nature?
Omen, yes, something happening where without being some. Person telling you something that you can learn from nature?
Yeah, yes. He's asking if we can learn from omens of nature. And yeah, the example of the Brahmin who had all those gurus. The Brahmin in the 11th canto who had so many shiksha gurus, he was learning from animals, from birds, from trees, from clouds. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chinadapi Sunichina Tararapi Sahishana. We can learn humility from the grass. We can learn tolerance from the tree. If we're open, we can learn from anything. So yes, there are examples. We can learn from hints. Means Krishna can give us hints, and if we're open, we can get the hint. Like when Bhima, well, you know, Krishna and the Pandavas went to meet Jarasandha, and in the end, Bhima and Jarasandha were fighting with clubs. Jarasandha was so powerful that Bhima could not defeat him, and he could not defeat Bhima. And then Krishna, he gave a little hint, like he had a blade of grass and he split it. And Arjuna got the hint, you know, because Jarasandha was like, could be broken in two parts. That was his weakness. And then, so Bhima got the hint and he took advantage of it. So Krishna can also give hints, and if we're open to them and if we're sincere, then as the Lord in the heart, he'll give us the intelligence to recognize the hint and read the hint properly. It could be in an act of nature as well. Dr. Rob?
Srimati Radharani stressed for the big swans today. I'm not head first.
That's very good. Two swans.
Where are the swans?
On the dress.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Srimati Radharani has two swans embroidered on her dress, I see. So it's just like today's verse. Yeah. Actually, this was a couple of years ago, but it was a stunning example. I went to White Rock Lake to walk, and somehow I thought, you know, I'd like to go some other, try some other streets, you know, just for some variety. So I went in a different direction. I just kept going, you know. And eventually I came to this huge mansion. It was set quite a bit back from White Rock Lake down some lane. This huge mansion with expansive grounds, you know, perfectly manicured. It was really impressive. And it's almost like a park, but say within the lawn, there's a pond, and within the pond were two swans. It's like stunning, I couldn't believe it. And it reminded me of this, and I just was looking at them. It was like really beautiful. Not an ordinary place. Yeah, the swans. There's the Srimad Bhagavatam, is a place of pilgrimage for the swans. And mundane talks are a place of pilgrimage for crows. So we are surrounded by swans right here. All right, my dear swan-like devotees of the Lord, swimming in the lake of Radhakala Chanji Dham, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Srila Guru.